chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low and he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king, and he will exalt the horn of his anointed.
Good morning, church. Oh, can't touch this mic. This mic moves a lot. It is wonderful to see you all this morning. If you are a visitor, we are especially glad that you are here with us this morning. If you have your Bibles and you want to go ahead and make your way to the book of Philippians, we are still in the book of Philippians. We're just plugging right along through Philippians. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Now, we have been going through Philippians. We kind of started at the end of the book. We looked at how we as Christians can better manage our worries. And then we went to the front of the book and we saw as Christians some labels. In a world that pushes status, that pushes position, we looked at some labels that are actually worthwhile, some labels a Christian should aspire to obtain. And then last week, we looked at our perspective in our hardships, in our hope, in our lives, and how that perspective that we have in life can be a great tool in our walk with the Lord. And as we get into chapter 2, Paul is really getting to the heart of the issue. When we look at chapter 4, verse 2, he urges Euodia and he urges Syntyche, these two women in the church. He goes, I want you guys to agree. We're not told on what they're disagreeing on. We're not told the issue. But he's urging for people to come together and to agree, for them to unite, to be of the same mind. We saw this idea kind of come to light in verse 27 of chapter 1. He says, I want to hear that you guys are standing in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side. This idea of partnership, this idea of being on the same page. And as Paul gets into chapter 2, the heart of this letter, he addresses how they can accomplish this, how they can unite, how they can put aside their differences. And that is humility. He encourages them to be humble. It's one of those things, as we will see, it's really easy said, and we'll see that it's one of the probably the more difficult things the Christian has to face. As especially in a world, you know, we looked at the status, the labels, but in a world that pushes me, what I accomplish, what I need, what my wants are, it becomes very difficult to help someone else. To take time out of our day, all the things that we want to do, the things we had planned, and to give it up all to help someone else with whatever they have going on. To give up what we want can become difficult. And yet that is exactly what Paul is encouraging these Christians and us today to do. As we look at chapter 2, looking at the first four verses, he says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Paul starts with this call to humility. And he starts by saying, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any love, if there's any of these things, and yet when we think about it, the answer to every one of those is yes. Yes, there is encouragement of Christ. Yes, we have comfort in love. Yes, we all participate in the Spirit. Yes, we have affection. Yes, we have sympathy. And because we share these things, not only with each other and with Christ, since we have these things with one another, Paul encourages us to be of the same mind, have the same mindset, having the same love, being full accord and of one mind, having this unity with one another because of all the things that we share, the encouragement that we bring to one another, the love that we share with each other, the worship that we have together, the sympathies we share for each other in hardships. Because of these things, we should strive to be unified. And Paul then addresses how that can happen. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. To place someone else's needs above your own is a challenging task, especially when it costs us the things that we want. Oftentimes, maybe the issue for our disagreements most of the time is our pride. I can't count the number of times I've argued with my friends, and I know I'm wrong about halfway through the argument, and I keep arguing for the sake, well, to mess with them partially, but also I don't want to be wrong. My pride's on the line. I said I was right, and I'm going to hold fast to that. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it kind of attitude. And oftentimes, that's where the disagreement comes in, because we're holding on to what I have, my pride. I don't want to look at myself, because then I'm wrong. Maybe I look dumb because I've been arguing this point that apparently is wrong, that I really thought was right. Or the thing mom and dad told me is wrong, and yet I don't want to think that. And oftentimes that's the source of our disagreement. That's the source of maybe these divisions that we have. And Paul says, look after the interests of others. He still says to look after our own interests, not to get lost in helping others so much that we don't focus on ourselves. He says, look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. To have the mindset where we're actively looking at how we can serve others around us, despite what it may cost us. It may be giving up our weekend to help someone move. It may be staying late at the office to maybe help someone with their workload. It may be helping the coach pick up after practice. Whatever the case, at some level, us being humble, us putting someone else's needs above our own, is going to cost us at some point. And it may cost us the thing that we want the most. And as Paul continues, he doesn't just simply say to put someone else's needs above your own because it's fun or because it's easy or because it's a good thing to do. Paul addresses next why this is the case. He goes, in verse 5, he goes, have this mindset among yourselves, this mindset of putting others above self, putting someone else's needs above your own. Have this mindset which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When we look through Scripture, it is filled with the idea of being like Christ. John 13:15, which is probably, Joey mentioned it briefly this morning, and is oftentimes the one that we look at the most when we talk about being a servant or being humble, is Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He says, after he washes their feet, he goes, I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. Washing the feet was what the lowest servant did in the house. The feet of people that have traveled for miles in a pair of sandals, dusty, muddy, probably stepped in some dung on the way through the town. These were nasty feet. And yet, Jesus, the Creator, the Son of God, wrapped a towel around his waist and sat down and washed his disciples' feet. He didn't see it as demeaning or anything. He saw it as an example. I'm going to serve you so that you know what you need to do in the future. Luke, Jesus says again, he goes, a disciple, when fully trained, will be like his teacher. As disciples, we are trying to be like the teacher. Paul in Corinthians says, be imitators of me, because I imitate Christ. Ephesians, he says, be imitators of God as beloved children. Here in Philippians, have this mindset, which is also of Christ. So this idea of being humble. 1 Peter, he says, Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. In 1 John 2:6, he says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. We are told that Jesus is the example. He's the forerunner. Paul doesn't say to put someone else's needs above your own for fun. He says, look at Christ. Look at the life he lived. Look how he put others above himself. And when we look at the life Jesus lived, it was one that was truly selfless. He took time to heal the sick, to teach, to minister to people. He traveled around. He had no home. He had no place to rest his head. He went from place to place. He got ran out of places. People wanted to stone him. And when the Pharisees saw him as a threat to their power, to their status, they sought out a way to get rid of him. And ultimately, he died. He came knowing that. If we had time, we would read Isaiah 53. Knowing what he had to suffer, yet he come regardless, knowing that it is what we needed in this life was for him to come and be on this earth. When we try to be like Christ, it's going to cost us to be humble, to put someone else's needs above our own. But Paul doesn't just leave it at that. Paul continues this idea. When we get to verse 9, he says, therefore, has God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Analogy that I've heard oftentimes when we look at Jesus' life, like we saw, he received no reward. He received no benefit. He received no thanks. He received thanks from the people he helped, but he received no reward. He received no praise for the life, for the things that he did until afterwards. And oftentimes when we think, being humble may mean that we get trampled on. We may be seen as pushovers to the world. We may get taken advantage of because we're willing to serve. We're willing to do the things that no one else really wants to do. And oftentimes, it's like planting a tree or planting any type of a plant, vegetable, fruit. When you plant the seed in the dirt, you don't see it. You come out every day, you water it, and you look, and there's nothing. You come out the next day, nothing, nothing. And after a week goes by, there's still nothing, and you sit there going, did it die? Did I plant it right? And finally, after several more weeks, it finally sprouts. There's some green. And given a little bit more time, there's fruit. It became plentiful. Though for that period of time, there was nothing. There was no evidence of it. There was no one could recognize that it was there. And oftentimes, that's where our humility is. It's unseen. It's in the background. People don't notice whenever the trash is taken out. They notice when the trash is full, but they don't notice when the trash is taken out. You don't notice the sink empty of dishes. Rather, you notice that the sink needs to be emptied after it's full of dishes. The house doesn't get noticed when it's clean. Rather, it gets noticed when it's dirty. Oftentimes, doing the act is unseen. When we take our time to give up our weekend, the person may never know that we gave up that plan that we had to come and help them. We see this in Christ's life. We see this throughout Scripture of people who were humble, who did the lowly thing in life and yet received no earthly reward for the things that they did. But there is a reward. Just as Christ, he was humble, he came down, was obedient, was a servant, he was exalted up high. And we too are going to be exalted. Scripture is full. Weston read us a passage from 1 Samuel. If you were to read through 1 and 2 Samuel, you see the ups and downs of people who are humble before the Lord, and God raises them up. He exalts them. He lets them do great things. And yet we see when they become proud, we see that they are brought low by God. We may not receive a physical reward. We may not receive a blessing from people when we help them, when we put their own needs above our own. Yet that perspective that we looked at last week, knowing that we are going to be rewarded, knowing that there is a reward to come, maybe not in this life, but in the next, can make us bearing the being humble much easier. In a world that pushes for me first, my wants, my needs, my desires, almost at any cost, to be humble might seem like a backwards thing to the world. Yet that is exactly what we as Christians are called to be. Paul, he walks through this beautifully, addressing from the beginning of chapter 1 up till now what we as Christians should be aspiring to have, to be servants, to have our perspective changed, to look past this future, this present life, to the life to come, and to be servants who are humble, who want to serve. And so I want to challenge us all this morning. As we start this week, I want you to pick one person. It can be your spouse, it can be your friend. It's got to be someone that you see more than once throughout the week. It can't be the person from the gas station that you stop at to get your energy drink in the morning. It's got to be someone that you see at least every day. And I want you throughout this week to outserve them. Whether it's your coworker, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your brother or sister, sibling, best friend, you name it. Pick someone and throughout this week, outserve them in whatever way. Whether it's doing the dishes, whether it's helping them in their activities, whether it's helping someone do homework, whatever the case, find a way to outserve that person this week. No matter what you gain from it, no matter how difficult it might be, it's going to cost. At the end of a long work day, this was in Colorado whenever I worked as an electrician. After a long day in the hot sun, the last thing I wanted to do was to come home and help do the dishes. Last thing I wanted to do. I wanted to sit there on the sofa and rest. And yet sometimes getting up and doing the dishes is what Chloe needed, whether I wanted to or not, whether I was tired or not, being able to do those things for someone despite what it may cost, despite the reward that we get at the end. It's easy on paper, but it may become very difficult once when we sit and count the cost. So this week, I challenge you, outserve that individual. And if there's anything that you need this morning, as we have looked at this idea of partnership, this idea of having the same love, the encouragement that we share with one another to push. Paul mentions that encouragement in Christ. And I'll make this point before we close. The world will look at us when we decide to be humble, when we decide to put someone else's needs above our own. They may walk on us. They may think it's weird. They may take advantage of it. And it can be disheartening. It can be discouraging to know every time that you set out to serve someone, there is no reward. There is no praise. There is no benefit to doing it. Yet, in this room, we are all striving for the same thing. And here in this room, this is where we receive our encouragement. This is where we receive the love when the world doesn't give us any for doing the things that Christ wants us to do. We are partners. We are the biggest encouragement in this world. So along with the challenge of outserving that person, come Wednesday, when we come back here, encourage one another to keep on serving, to keep going. Halfway through the week, it could be very tiring. You could be realizing, oh, this is hard. So midweek, I encourage you to encourage one another in the act of service. And this morning, if there's anything that we can do for you, if there's any way that we can encourage you
there's any way that we could show our love to you, this is the time to do it. If there's anything that we can do for you as partners in the gospel, I encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement this morning.